Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
And it's time for us to shift our focus to China.
A couple of issues we're looking at. First one, the world continuing their fight against COVID-19, but China has reported that their GDP rose 2.3% last year. But this results have likely worsened their deepest weaknesses, which is low productivity. So the question we're asking is, how has China's road to recovery actually worsened the trend of declining growth in productivity? Is Beijing doing anything to overcome this issue?
Elsewhere, this made headlines this week. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's newly outlined $1.9 trillion stimulus package, and it looks like the package might just have some global implications. So how will Biden's stimulus proposal affect China, and will it instead be a good thing for them?
And I think you remember over the weekend, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tweeted around 30 anti-China posts during that time. I mean, it looks like he's not letting go of China, just, you know, even though he's on his way out as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was leaving. Did the string of tweets from Pompeo surprise China at all? How have they reacted?
Okay, let's get some analysis. Straits Times China Bureau Chief Tan Donwei is on the line. Don, good morning. Thanks for helping us out with this. Let's start off with China reporting that their GDP rose 2.3% last year as the world struggled to contain the COVID-19 pandemic. You've got a surge in state investments that has helped lift the Chinese economy from the effects of COVID-19, but it has likely worsened one of its deepest weaknesses, which is low productivity.
So how has China's economic recovery amplified a trend on of declining growth and productivity, and what effort is Beijing setting in place in their efforts to overcome the problem? Should we expect more state investments to help?
Hi, good morning. Well, the COVID outbreak last year devastated China's economy in the first 3 months of the year when it contracted 6.8%. and then steadily climbed back up to finish in the last quarter at a growth rate of 6.5%. To drive its economic recovery, the government has turned to traditional drivers like investment, whether it's government spending or investments by its state-owned enterprises. But yes, that could be exacerbating the problem of low productivity, which China has been suffering from for years as its population ages and its workforce shrinks, and as its state-owned enterprises dominate over private companies. And its productivity is decelerating just as it wants to ramp up to catch up with the rich countries. So growth is still unbalanced because the economic recovery has been reliant on public support, and domestic consumption is not catching up as much as the government wants it to. A recent International Monetary Fund report highlighted this problem and recommended that non-performing state-owned enterprises shake up or ship out, and that the government level the playing field between state and private companies. China has embarked on a path of reforming its clunky state-owned enterprises, but economists have pointed out that there's still a long way to go.
Yep, and lots of work to be done. Okay, Dawn, U.S. President-elect Joe Biden has proposed $1.9 trillion in stimulus to the U.S. economy, and it seems that it might have global implications. That's prompted China's central bank to call attention to growing external risks to the economy and that of the world at large.
Yeah, Dawn, so we've been curious about this. You've got Biden's $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. How can that be a boon for China? I mean, U.S.'s latest stimulus package would put even more liquidity into the global market. How much could end up in China where investment returns are promising? Any thoughts?
If the stimulus package can boost consumption in the US and pull up its economy, China could benefit from a greater demand for its exports. Already we saw that its exports grew 18% last month, a lot of it for COVID-related supplies such as personal protective equipment, medical devices, appliances, and hardware that people under lockdown may need for working from home, for instance. But there is some concern, too, that the liquidity may lead to asset bubbles being created and what happens if those bubbles burst. We've already seen funds flowing into China's stock and bond markets because of the better returns they offer, and that is likely to continue to happen in the coming months.
We're speaking with Straits Times China Bureau Chief Tan Donwei. Don, final question. A long-term anti-China hawk in the Trump administration by the name of U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tweeted around 30 anti-China posts during the weekend. They include verbal attacks on the Communist Party of China, the Chinese media entities, policies concerning the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, Hong Kong, South China Sea, China's response to COVID-19...
Wow. So the question, Dawn, is, did the string of tweets from Pompeo surprise China, since, of course, the Trump administration is on its way out? What do you think the reason was for the recent anti-China slew of tweets? And what about the agenda?
No, I shouldn't think it surprised China at all. In fact, you could argue that if Mr. Pompeo went quietly, that might be more of a surprise. We've seen how the Trump administration has, in its last weeks in the White House, been ramping up antagonistic moves against China, such as the lifting of restrictions between how U.S. and Taiwanese officials interact, a move that has upset China. Yesterday, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Hua Chunying was asked about Mr. Pompeo's string of tweets, and she basically snubbed him and described his actions as doomsday madness and that his credibility is now completely bankrupt. There clearly is an agenda behind the series of tweets. Some political pundits think it is to sabotage the incoming Biden administration and put them in a difficult spot in dealing with China. Others think it's Pompeo's way of creating a legacy for himself, especially with anti-China sentiments in the U.S. still on a high, and possibly helping him pave the way for a presidential run in 2024, as some have suggested.
We've been speaking with Straits Times China Bureau Chief Tan Don Wei.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.